everybody, welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to talk about, Apocalypse some more. There's a party happening, and nothing bad is going to happen to anyone at all. So don't worry, I'm not going to end this episode being the maddest I've ever been on the podcast, for sure. I'm joined, as always, by Ms. Shadow Lovely and Slow Beef. Hey gang, how's it going?
What's up?
Holy shit. So, Beef, before we get started, I just wanted to clarify one thing. You mentioned this is what made you stop watching American Horror Story this episode.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yep. I was watching, and I was like, back in the day, tweeting about, season 5. 6, not so much, but 7, definitely. I started on 8, and then this episode happened, and I'm like, I'm good. And then we just left it until this podcast, honestly. So this,
me from the present time talking to Slow Beef in the past. You're right, man. This sucks. this is trash. Holy shit. So let's get to it. Last time, we finished on Mallory thinking she had pyrokinesis and all this other stuff. Having pyrokinesis but not being able to demonstrate it. Coco and Gallant kind of roasting her a little bit, which, like, I don't know, man, that just seems like a poor risk reward evaluation. Like, if somebody tells me they have pyrokinesis, I'm not gonna be like, prove it, you won't, because, like, what if they do? Like, I don't want to be there the first time someone finds out they can light me on fire with their mind.
If anything, I feel like I'm just so nosy that I would be very insistent that they prove it to me, but not because I'm being like pedantic or like antagonistic, simply because I want to see it. I think it would be sick as hell. So I'd be like, are you sure you can't try to set that apple on fire? That would be pretty cool, I think. Are you sure you don't want to try again? You said you did it before. You sure you don't want to try it one more time, Squidward? Like, I think I would just be very insistent that they need to do it again so I could see it.
I think, like, the most pushback I get is, like, get out of here. Let me see. Come on. You know what I mean? But not like this, you freaking suck, Mallory. Get the hell out of here. Burn that, you stupid bitch, or whatever. But...
Yeah. Wow, it's so dumb pretending you have wizard powers. What a crock of shit. Like, come on, relax.
Anyway, how about those resurrecting snakes, huh?
Yeah, it feels a little hard to just kind of throw out the concept of magic after you saw snakes come back to life. But no one seems to remember the part where they saw snakes come back to life, which... to me, makes it seem like the writers just put that in to have a funny little spooky jump scare, and then they were just like, do we want to reference that anywhere else in the plot? No. No, not even a little.
Yeah, literally none of the characters mention it ever again. Like, Timmy and Emmy, after it happens, are like, whoa, is that fucked up or what? And then, like, that's it. That's the end of it. Like, not even... To remember, like, Mead and Venable and stuff, like, they're not in on that either. That wasn't, like, a prank they did. You'd think at least they would be like, hey, man, we chopped up those snakes, right? Like, we definitely chopped up those snakes to make into soup, correct? And they'd be like, yeah, I'm pretty sure we did. Them coming, like, back to life wasn't, like, us. No, I don't think it was us. Should we maybe, like... look into that or something? I don't know.
And then Mead is like, I have a weirdly perfect memory for some reason that I won't be sure why of until a little later. So yeah, I distinctly remember we cut up the snakes,
So. Oh, man. So after that interaction, we move on to it's time for the party because we have apples. So it's time to have an apple party, I guess.
And Halloween. We have to have a Halloween episode. That's the biggest thing. More so than the party, we have to have a Halloween episode because they always... have to have a Halloween episode.
I wish it was an apple party. That'd be so much cooler. But it's not. And they all have masks. It's a masquerade. We have everybody kind of like bopping around in funny little masks that they made that are all like a little too well crafted, I think. Like, I think it kind of goes a little past disbelief for me at least.
This isn't like stuff you make out of like duct tape and stuff you have like on hand. Like, these are all like... you'd get them from, like, a costume shop masks. So either they were pre-made and these people just had them for some reason, or everybody in that bunker is God's greatest, most gifted craftsman. who was able to make a perfect drama mask with little to no, not only no prior skills, but also no materials to work with.
Yeah. And Andre tries to scoop up one of the apples and is immediately told off on just like, hey, we'll get the apples out the way we get the apples out, which is they decide to bob for apples, which seems like a poor idea just in general. Like, I don't know. I'm not a big bobbing for apples guy. I think that's kind of like a little played out. It's a little gross.
I think I've done that once in my life, but I can imagine the scenario of bobbing for apples. What I can imagine a little less is the scenario of bobbing for apples after I'm fucking starving from eating only food cubes, you know, for like months and months and months. That part I think is a little harder to relate to.
I would also like to...
Going well for them. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. I was just saying, I can't imagine that like going well for the concept of bobbing for apples, you know. But yeah.
Yeah, when you're extra hungry and so the stakes are a lot higher.
The other thing is, I don't know if we reminded
the audience of what we discovered, or not what we discovered, but like the build up to this last episode, or last our episode, but like still this episode, which is that Mead and Venable are trying to kill everyone by poisoning the apples. Seems like a extremely high margin for error of someone accidentally clipping an apple with their mouth in bobbing for apples.
Exactly. Because, the big crux of their plan was everyone needs to eat these at the same time because the poison kills you in, like, 4 seconds. So if someone eats an apple 4 seconds before everyone else, the jig is up. It's over. Bobbing for apples is like a terrible idea. Because, what if somebody's just a little too hungy, leans in and accidentally like bites into it? But you know what? Luckily, everyone just grabs it by the stem perfectly with no bites.
Also, like, Jesus Christ, like, we already have like a regular dinner that they all attend. You know what I mean? And if it's like that or don't eat. So this is like a really weird plot because it actually makes it a plot thread because it makes it like harder for that plan to work, you know? Like if they just left it alone.
Wouldn't it be?
They could have just served them all at like a finale. Like everybody has a cloched apple. And then when Venable's like, okay, everybody reveal your special treat at the end. And then they all uncloche their apple and they're like, ooh, an apple. Then there's much less likelihood that someone digs in before everybody else. Like then everybody is presented the apples at the same time.
I know, like, I'm not an expert poisoner, but I have thought about it for, like, 10 seconds right now, and I feel like I've got a good plan going, right? Well, I don't know.
A better plan, certainly. A better plan than the one that they're doing.
That's the plan.
Coco then kind of walks in upstairs, and her hair looks stupid, and Gallant makes everyone clap for her stupid hair, and everyone's like, okay, I guess, sure, whatever. One last ride for Coco. Venable comes in and gives like a speech about Halloween. You're right. It's very Tim Burton-y. It's very like theatrics for the sake of theatrics, which like maybe not right now, you know, maybe don't give people a reason to be like weirded out before they, you know, eat the poison. Maybe wait till after. And then, turns the music on, which means at any point anyone could have just walked up to the speaker and said, no, man, I'm done listening to the same song for 8 days straight. Let's just stop this.
Yeah, you could just turn it off, it turns out. It's crazy that no one ever tried to turn it off until now. She also turns on, like, a different song, so, like... Even listening to a different song was an option this whole time, and they just didn't do it, I guess, or no one tried. They were like, well, I guess it's that song forever, and just didn't even bother trying another one. I think what it is, like this whole scene with Venable giving her speech about Halloween, I'll be so honest, I don't even fucking remember what she says. It's literally just like, Halloween's when we celebrate the dead, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's some nonsense bullshit about, like, why we do Halloween or something. I think Venable was probably pre the nuke dropping. I think Venable was A, almost certainly a theater kid, and B, probably working some kind of a job where, like, she didn't get a lot of attention, perhaps like a bank teller or something, where she craved a lot of attention and did not get it.
Liz, this is so generous of you to think that they gave her a backstory of some kind.
Oh, this is my headcanon. This almost certainly is not what they had in mind for Venable. I'll be honest. Yeah. I don't know that we ever get any information about Venable ever for the rest of the series.
We probably don't until, like, season 14 or some bullshit's like, Venable, the little girl in this period, you know what I mean, or whatever.
Give them ideas, Slow Beef. They'll do it. They will do it. They're going to be like, that's so cool. Everybody loves Miss Venable, so we're going to give her a... Because, like, Wilhelmina Venable's not a real fucking person name, you know what I mean? Like, that's a person from, like, the 1600s. So either she's LARPing... Yeah. Or, like, that's not a real person. Or she has, an insane backstory. But we won't get to learn it because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we do have a new song.
Baby, I Want You by Bread starts up. And, which, fucking wild choice. Like, as someone who likes Bread, wild choice. Coco gets approached by a very large man who's cloaked and fully masked and everything. She assumes it's Langdon because she's immensely stupid, I suppose, because he's not the shape of Langdon at all. Langdon is like slightly tall twink mode, and this fella's like built more like the shape.
Yeah.
Like, he's like a big boy.
Langdon's like maybe 5'9", 5'10". Like, he's like on the taller side of average, but like the guy who comes up to Coco's clearly like 6'5", maybe 6'6".
And not slender under there either. Yeah. Like, he's like a built out dude. Yeah. And so she just tells him, after assuming it's Langdon, that, like, she understands you can't tell me what's going on in the sanctuary, but, like, yeah, you know, I'm an influencer, and you want to take me over there, and, like, hey, if you don't, I'll lick your butthole. Which, okay, all right.
I mean, she skipped, like, a few, like, if I was in her position, like, listen, I'm not gonna say I'm above offering certain favors if it means I don't have to get eaten by cannibals, but she skips straight to tonguing his butthole. Like, does not stop, or does not pass go, does not collect $200, is just like, hey, if it helps make your decision, I'll stick my tongue in your butthole. Yeah.
And interesting, like, that's the first one, right? Like, that's the go-to, is like, hey, listen, if it helps, I eat ass. It's like, well, I thank you for being presumptuous, I guess, you know, but...
Do you think this was a case of, like, American Horror Story being like, well, she definitely offered to suck him off, but that's not, like, fucked up and evil enough, so maybe she offers a rusty trombone frame zero.
That's what I'm thinking, is, like, eating ass is, like, such a, like, vanilla person's idea of, like, the most taboo shit you can do. So I think it comes more across as, like, the American Horror Story writers being like, well, it has to be, like, a little fucked up, so we'll do the most crazy thing we can possibly think of. Oh, what if she offers to lick his butthole? And then they're like,
anal.
Yeah, that's real fucked up.
Anal link is the Halloween sex act. Exactly. It's
yeah, the devil's sex act.
That's right, they call it Goosey Night. Wait, what?
Yeah.
After this exchange, they go back to her room. She gets on her knees and starts to unbutton the pants, and then, has a quick line of, I have a short tongue and a sensitive gag reflex, which it's like, goddamn, Coco, can you be good at anything? Like, it's unbelievable.
Do you think that's why she offered to eat ass? Because that doesn't require you to, like... have a good gag reflex. You don't have to, like, worry about a gag reflex being it.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. That
short tongue doesn't seem good, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Coco doesn't think, for sure. Short tongue doesn't seem practical for analingus, I don't think. Like, short tongue seems like a pitfall.
Well, I guess if you don't bleach, maybe it's like, look, I don't have to deal with too much here. I don't know. I'm sorry for the gory details, but look where we are. The apocalypse, baby.
So, then the masked cloaked man just responds with, "I know." And it's like, very obviously, Brock, like her ex-boyfriend, we all kind of know this. Like, it's pretty obvious from a while back. And then he takes his mask off and she asks, like, "Oh, why is your face fucked up?" And he's like, "Cause the nukes, are you dumb?" It was because the fucking nukes, were you not paying attention?
Yeah, he, like, first of all, where did he get a mask? Because, like, I understand that he broke into the facility. We saw him do it. But, like, where did he get a mask from? How did he know they were having a mask party? Like, how did he get this intel? Also, like, he's, the way that they have him, like, messed up prosthetic-wise is they just kind of, like, made his hairline really far back.
It's very Spirit Halloween, right?
Like, yeah. They're like, what's the scariest thing a man could be? And they were like, bald. And it's like, okay, well, not really. Not really.
Billy. We've got, yeah. We've got set.
Like, Billy Eichner being bald, like, isn't the scariest thing in the world. But he's like, it's a mixture of me being attacked by cannibals, the radioactive fallout, and cancer. I'm like, how do you know you have cancer? Like, do we still have hospitals out there? Or are you just assuming? Like, well, I definitely have cancer. Like, are you just assuming that that's like a given or what? Also, they didn't do, I don't know, where does cannibal attacks, how did that affect your hairline? Like, why did that affect what
hand.
You look for? Oh, okay.
Bit my hand. Mm. My hand's bad because I got my hand bit.
That's fair.
I guess.
Incredible for a cannibal to go straight for the hand while you're still alive. Like, that's real, like.
It's pretty hungry.
Yeah. Real hungry hippo's ass behavior.
Oh, and then, Coco hits him with the, "I've thought about you every day since the explosion, and I never would have left if I thought you could have made it." And then, like, you know, clearly can't get over herself and, you know, successfully pretend to give a shit because, yeah, she doesn't, obviously, doesn't give a shit. And he just kind of stabs her in the head, which, like, yeah, okay. It was, like, a little bit, the thing for me is it was, like, a little bit, like, kind of anticlimactic, which sounds insane when you're talking about someone getting stabbed in the head, but it, like, kind of just comes and goes really fast. Like, he's just like, okay, I'm over this. There you go. And then they move on.
Yeah, when I was watching this one this season, like, every episode as it came out, I would watch it on the day that it premiered because I was very morbidly curious. And it, when you're watching them as they're, like, airing and not doing a podcast about it where you're meticulously watching every scene and discussing it, the pace is obviously quite a bit faster. And I will say when that scene happened, because it is so anticlimactic and, like, kind of out of the blue, it was a, like, wait, what are we doing? What's happening? Like, who? Why? Coco got stabbed in the head? Like, what the fuck? And that was the moment. The moment that Coco got stabbed in the head was the moment I realized, uh-oh, all the stuff we've done until now is about to not matter, isn't it? We'll find out, listener. We'll find out whether or not that's true at the end of this episode.
I don't think I made the connection when I was watching it, but I felt like they were moving really fast. You know what I mean? Because it's kind of like, we don't have a lot of characters, and this is presumably the end of the world, so we're not getting many more, so, like, how come we're killing off Coco in, like, episode 3, you know? But, you know, you'll see.
Yeah, you'll see. It's not going to be good, but you'll see.
If you haven't guessed by now, yeah, exactly. But, yeah.
Yeah, so it's party time, and we got a bob for apples. And apparently this is one of those, like, claw machines where you just play till you win. Because, like, normally there's, like, a fail state at bobbing for apples, I thought. I thought there was, like, if you didn't do it in enough time, you would be like, well, don't get an apple. But,
Or maybe a participation trophy. Maybe it's like, oh, you get 3 chances, and if you fuck it up, we just hand you an apple. Like, you get to do the game, but, like, if you fuck it up, we'll just, like, hand you one. You still get to participate, but, like, you will get an apple at the end. You'll just be a loser.
Yeah, and so they all bob for apples in turn, and they all very delicately grab the apples by the stem, which is not the way any human being bobs for apples. You bite them shits. That's the point, is you bite into it and then you pull it out like a horse. Like, that's like the whole conceit of the goddamn thing.
I also think, again, I have to say, and if you are not eating well because the apocalypse, you probably take a bite and then just instinct takes over and you just keep going, you know? Like, I really don't think you're gonna be, there's too many people are gonna be like, I gotta stop and follow the rules of the game. You know,
yeah, like, what are you going to do, shoot me if I do bob for apples wrong? Like, I'm going to get a bite of that apple. I'm real hungry. Actually, they said they were Red Delicious. Maybe I wouldn't. Even if I was starving, I don't know if I would eat a Red Delicious apple. I'll be so real with you, gang.
Yeah. Oh, good. It's like the flavorless meal cube, except it's grainy. Awesome.
And get this, other people's mouths have been on it, you know, for a while.
It's been really soaking in spit soup. Yeah. Yummy. That's what bobbing for apples is. It's just like getting an apple that everybody's spit has touched. That's all that bobbing for apples is. What a cool game. My thing is, like, what? Just in general, like, not even just, like, in the context of this podcast, but, like, or this show, I recently brought up to, like, other people, I'm like, why do we still bob for apples? Like, bobbing for apples is, like, a 1500s activity when, like, we didn't have TV. Like, you know, we needed something to keep us busy.
You know how, like, in the early 20th century, like those bathing suits, like, old women would have that were, like, striped, men too, I mean, but, like,
yeah.
And it was, like, you know, the cliche, it's, like, it's considered, like, ooh-la-la, sexy if, like, they showed, like, an ankle. I think, like, bobbing for apples is, like, that, like, kind of party game version of, like, Twister for back in the, you know what I mean? Like, ooh, this is delicious.
Yeah.
Where's your mouth going? Like, perhaps where Lady Canterton's whirls on the stem. Oh, no? Oh, forget it then. All right. Well, still, you know. But, like, so, like,
Puritans
that's
getting horny for the apples. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just sort of like 7 minutes in heaven for Puritans, you know? So, like, it's just, yeah. So that's
real Mormon shit. Yeah, real Utah shit.
Like, you jump on
soaking
the bed.
Soaking for apples?
But, right.
No, don't call it that.
So, apple is what it is. Then, called it, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, appling, it's absolutely.
Dirty so, apples.
Mead walks in and just says, hey, I can't find the fist, Venable, or Coco, which this is where we have confirmation that I wasn't hallucinating and that character is actually named the Fist.
Yep.
Which was very satisfying for me personally, because I'm like, I didn't just fever dream a character name, did I? No. They're like, okay, well, we'll probably have to stop then. And then the Venable, or God, I keep calling her the Venable because it sounds like a title. Venable just goes, nah, it's fine if there's witnesses. We'll just fucking kill Langdon. And then certainly the Sanctuary will be cool with this. Does everyone forget that Langdon's like he's like the boss?
Yeah, Jesus. He's presumably at least on the council. Like, at the very least, he's like, he might not be like the CEO of the organization, but he's like upper management at least.
And he's emailed them. They know he's there. You can't even give the excuse like, well, maybe he died in transit and we found stuff. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way out of this that works, but whatever, I suppose.
And so then we get a flashback of Mead and Venable milking snakes for their venom, which... here's the big part where we go... That venom and poison are not the same thing, and many of them require to be, like, in a very specific, like, method of application. Because, like, if something's, like, fucking up the sodium channels in your nerves and, like, messing with, like, your receptor system and stuff, it going into your tummy isn't going to do dick. It'll maybe, like, make you a little sick or, like, give you an ulcer or something if it's, like, a particularly nasty compound. But it's not going to, like, shut down your body instantly and make you foam from the mouth. That's generally not what venom does. Otherwise, snakes wouldn't bite you. They would like, slink up you and spit in your mouth, which would be, like, way worse if snakes did that.
There's also a photo offer to do with Landon, yeah. But
yeah,
you know.
If the analingus didn't take, that was the other option. Yeah, that's the thing. Is like other animals. If you're enjoying this podcast and are interested in supporting us or having access to additional bonus episodes, consider subscribing to our Patreon over at patreon.com/greatandterribleahs. Supporters who pledge $5 or more dollars a month will get access to our monthly Patreon exclusive episode in which we discuss various American Horror Story spinoffs, such as American Horror Stories. Thank you again for listening, and we hope to see you around next week. Like, even if you don't know the difference between poison and venom, like, other animals eat snakes. And you guys were eating snakes earlier. So if, like, eating snake venom was going to be an issue, you wouldn't have eaten the snakes earlier. You know what I mean? Like, okay, first and foremost, if anyone's listening and you don't know the difference between poison and venom, a good, like, way to think about it is if it bites you and you get sick, it's venom. If you bite it and you get sick, it's poison. You might notice that, like Ty said, when you eat a snake, you don't get sick because it's not poisonous. I'm sure there are snakes that are poisonous, but, like, most of them aren't.
Here's the way to remember it. Naked snake eats snakes, but venom snake is voiced by Kiefer Sutherland. That's how I have my mnemonic.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, the thing is, like, also, like, without getting into, like, the nitty-gritty details of it, like, snake venom is essentially kind of just, like, an enzyme, like a protein, imminently digestible by your digestive system. The stuff in our stomachs is, like, so good at breaking down shit like that that, like, unless you had some kind of an open wound in your, like, mouth or your digestive tract or your stomach, which a lot of people do. To be clear, a lot of people do. A lot of people have ulcers or, like, some kind of lesion they don't know about in their mouth. Like, people bite their cheeks all the time. But if you did not have that, which there is an extremely high likelihood that you don't, there would be no way for the venom to get into your bloodstream, which is what it needs to do in order to do venom things. Also, not for nothing, but two things. One, we see them injecting the apple with, like, a hypodermic needle full of venom.
I forgot about that.
And, like,
you're right.
I don't think that's, like, how that works. Like, I don't think it just fills the apple with poison, like, or venom, even. Like, I don't even think that's how that works. Like, I don't think I could, like, fill a syringe with chicken stock and just shoot it into an apple and make it a chicken apple. Like, I don't think that's, like, how that works with apples.
Yeah, I was gonna say, real monster hunter logic there of, like, yeah, I'll just apply some paralyzing goo to this steak, and it's a paralyzed steak. Absolutely.
Yeah. There's no way this could go wrong. But even then, like, first of all, this is implying that the whole apple is now a poison apple, which is whatever. But then even, like, venom, even if we're playing off the idea of, like, oh, the idea is that they're getting basically, like, it's basically the same thing as getting bit by a snake, right? Very few snake venoms, like, make you foam from the mouth and have a seizure right away. Like, that's, like, reserved for, like, the toppest tier of most venomous snakes ever, period. Like, it's not every venomous snake. Usually it's just, like, what is that called? Localized. Usually the reaction is localized to the snake bite, really. And you just have to deal with, like, that. They think it's arsenic.
Most, like, incredibly... Yeah, and most incredibly dangerous venoms aren't because they make you, like, foam from the mouth or whatever. It's because it just, like, fucks up the signaling system that tells your brain that, or that makes your brain able to tell, like, your heart to work.
Yeah,
or
brain
make your lungs move and stuff like that.
Paralytic.
So you just can't breathe and can't have cardiac function. Mm-hmm. And so you just stop. And that's, you can't live like that. But that you don't get turbo rabies, which is kind of what happens here. They get super rabies from eating snakes, which okay.
Which they've already done. They've already eaten snakes once already, and they were fine. But alas, you'd think that would make them a little bit more immune, but who could say? Not these guys.
So everybody pulls their apples out one at a time. We have a fun little sequence of everybody grabbing an apple and being like, yippee, I got an apple. Venable does a big old speech about how it's Halloween and we got to celebrate and we can make it happen. And cheers. Now, everybody eat your apple in 3, 2, 1. And everyone goes, yeah, all right. Just probably take a huge big fucking bite out of a Red Delicious. I would, ooh. If you told me it was, I died eating. Yeah, I'm the same way. If I died because of a Red Delicious apple and it wasn't like someone shit whipping one at my head, I'd be so mad. I'd be so mad.
Maybe the world deserved to end if this is how they treat people.
If Red Deliciouses are the only apples left on Earth after the apocalypse, and that's the only, like, genus of apple we're allowed to cultivate, imagine the world gets, like, leveled, glassed, and the only type of apple, imagine it's a Noah's Ark situation, but for food, and the only type of apple that we managed to save was a fucking Red Delicious. I don't want to live in that world anymore. That's bullshit. That's bullshit. That sucks. To get back to Honeycrisp, it's gonna suck.
Listing apples. Yeah, yeah. I can't live without Cosmic Crisp, Gala. Pink Lady, a little bit of Honeycrisp. There's so many good apples in the world, and none of them are named Red Delicious.
And imagine it, like, because that just sets like a, to me, that sets a precedent of like, okay, well, we only saved like the shittiest apple. So like, okay, well, what other versions of like the shittiest version of something did you save? Is the only cheese you saved like Limburger cheese, and we don't know how to make like cheddar anymore? No more mozzarella. None
white
of that.
American.
Yeah. Crap singles, like, what are we working with? What are our options?
I bet Velveeta could survive a nuclear blast.
Oh, sure.
Seems like it could. I think it'd tough it out.
Probably has a really long shelf life, too, if I had to guess. Like, shelf-stable Velveeta?
I think they coat fighter jets with it, actually, even just for that reason. Yeah.
The black box of food, Velveeta.
So... So everyone does. Everyone takes a big old bite of the poison apple at the same time. And this is where, if you're me, viewers, the person who has not seen this series before, I went, oh no. Because I was like, okay, well, there's going to be a moment where at the last second someone has like a moment of reason. Or honestly, I was assuming it was going to be the two Wonder Kids. I was assuming it was going to be the two perfect genetic teens would be like, hang on. Something doesn't add up. We saw Langdon's laptop. This seems bad. We shouldn't eat these. No, everyone does. Literally everyone does at the same time. And they all start choking and throwing up and foaming at the mouth. And they all fucking die. They all fucking die. The whole cast. The whole fucking cast of the show die. Everything you've been invested in for three full fucking episodes up to this point. Too bad. Suck my nuts, you piece of shit. It's over. We got rid of all of them. What?
We did it!
Yay.
What a waste of my time! I'm so mad!
Yeah, yippee! Isn't that fun, audience, that we're on episode 3 and all of it has been for nothing and for no one? Isn't that cool? Isn't that good? Isn't that good writing? Like, does that make you want to watch more of the TV show?
I'll even say it doesn't even feel like it's going to be set dressing either, because like we've spent so much time in this fucking bunker that like the entire like build we've had is all based around this bunker. We've had very little time in the outside world, and the time we had in the outside world was just like, yeah, it's Los Angeles. And then like now it's been bunker season. And something tells me, I have a dark creeping suspicion that it's not ever going to be relevant ever again. Like the boys' school downstairs is just, they're gonna walk through it and then leave and be like, huh, that was fucked up anyway. Oh man.
Well,
I can't think of another piece of media that has done this, that has like fully upended the entire cast for such a dumb reason. Oh man.
Wow.
Yeah, and you might be looking at your clock and go, wait, but we're only 33 minutes or so into this episode of the podcast. Yeah, the episode isn't fucking over. They didn't end on that. Can you believe that? They had like king shit of Cliffhanger Mountain, and you know what they did? Nah, we'll just keep going. We'll just power through it.
We have more things we need you to know, including another twist. We have another twist we have to do. Two more. We have two more twists we have to do, audience. There's two. Killing the whole cast. Killing most of the cast. The thing is, I think they wanted a Red Wedding moment because they really haven't had that in any of their seasons so far, which if you haven't watched Game of Thrones and you don't know what that means, there's a very infamous... It's a big shocking episode where like a huge chunk of the main cast dies.
Yeah, it's like, it's one of those things too where like it's in like season three and you've had time to invest like enough time with the characters to say like, oh my god, I can't believe they did that, as opposed to like, wait, then why the hell did we do this? Because that's not what happens in Game of Thrones, obviously. Yeah. There's other characters who are still alive. But this time it's like, how about, like, 90% of the cast? And you're like, well, wait, you can't continue on now like this, so what?
Yeah, Game of Thrones had a lot of extra characters that we can follow after we get rid of roughly 40% of them. Like, there's still plenty of them that we can still watch.
They didn't hit reset, like, on a fucking game console, you know, like they're doing here, so,
Yeah, but you can tell, like, that's what they wanted. They wanted a big, like, oh, shit. That's the thing, is American Horror Story so frequently is clearly going for wanting to be doing that, like, oh, shit moment. But just in general, even if this wasn't American Horror Story, the dog shit water show we watch every week, if this was a different TV show that was an anthology, it's just too hard to do a twist like that for an anthology, because twists like that are like big moments of oh shit, like upheavals of cast, is like kind of reserved for shows that have been established for a pretty decent amount of time, like Beef said.
It doesn't really work, and it also comes across like even lazy on the like the fact that we have to look up Gaunt's like first name, that, and they don't really even bother giving him one. You know what I mean? Like, it just feels like they didn't do a ton to establish these characters to begin with, and the problem is the only reason you might not suspect that that's something is because they usually don't do a lot. You know, it just feels a little extra lazy here, and then
I was gonna say, and even if you're willing to like give them the benefit of the doubt that they were like, okay, we'll make a bunch of characters that people don't like, so when they all die, they'll be like, yippee, everyone likes it. Except they forgot to put like anyone in I give a shit about.
Yeah.
They forgot to put in anyone.
it's really quite awful, yeah, because you don't care about them, so when it happens, it's like, oh, this is stupid, like, what are we gonna do now, you know? Like, you have just nothing to hang your hat on in terms of, like, what do I even give a shit about, you know? So, like, it's not like I want to see any of them avenged, you know? Like, oh, who's gonna say, you know, who's gonna get Tim and Emily, like, back for this? Oh, maybe Brock? You know, I don't know, but...
Yeah, and like, Venable and Mead and Langdon, like, I kind of like Mead by virtue of it's Kathy Bates, and I like watching Kathy Bates do stuff. I think she's a very talented actor, but, like, other than that, don't give a shit.
Well, and like,
is
not
nothing.
Even, not
Langdon
even like,
is a ripoff from someone else.
Not even, like, giving a shit, but even as far as Mead goes, like... Not that I think it was, like, a cool or good reveal, but, like, revealing that she's a fucking robot is like, okay, well, at least I want to know what the fuck that's about. Like, I'd like to get more information about, like, well, okay, she's a fucking robot, so, like, why? Because that has to be relevant, right? Like, that surely wouldn't just be, like, a dangling plot thread they leave of, oh, by the way, that lady's a fucking robot. Like, surely they
also
will explain that.
And you know what? It's like, it's just also like this whole notion of like, okay, it's a robot and it's like the human, like almost the last humans on Earth, or possibly, you know what I mean? That kind of thing. And it's like, that's way above your weight class, American Horror Story. You know what I mean? Like, you can't pull off Nier Automata. Get out of here. Just knock it off right now, you know? But like, But, you know, you're not doing that. That's enough. I'm ringing the bell on that. Sorry.
In the dichotomy of can a robot be human, you know, versus, you know, Yoko Taro's can a human be human?
Right.
American Horror Story is way back at can a robot be a robot still. Like, they haven't even started down the path.
They're not like, wait, what is a robot again? Like,
yeah, can we look that up? What does that mean?
Do they dream of electric sheep? Like, where do we stand on that? Like, what's going on? Like, how do we feel about this?
I was supposed to read Blade Runner last week. I'm sorry. That's where they are. Like, my dog ate my homework, my robot homework. But
God, what a good show.
So, yeah. So, after this, Venable and Meade go and walk through the bodies and double check that everyone is dead, because certainly the audience wants someone to go double check, and sure enough, yeah, they're all dead. They decide to go up to Langdon's office, because, yeah, no witnesses, we're going to kill Langdon, and then they're going to let us into the sanctuary, because we're just really girl bosses who take initiative, I guess. I fuck. And, he's just typing away on his MacBook, like, deedle deedle deedle, my plans are going well. Venable walks in and is like, you didn't make the cut. Meade, shoot him. And, and then, Meade, like, aims the gun at him. He goes, you don't want to do that. And in the most obvious turn on the planet, because, like, we've had multiple times where, yeah, okay, she's a robot. She was made by the cooperative, you know, so on and so forth. So why does Venable think she would be the top of that priority chain for, like, permissions on this thing? Venable's so dumb. Wait. Venable's so dumb. It makes me very mad how fucking stupid Venable is, and I'm supposed to take her seriously.
We covered this in RoboCop, exactly. You know, like, it's not gonna work, but...
And so, Meade holds up a gun, points it at Langdon, and then Langdon goes, no, actually, shoot Venable. And Venable goes, what the? And Meade turns and points the gun at Venable. And Meade goes, oh, I don't know why I did that. Which, it, because you're a fucking robot. Yeah, lock in. Is no one paying attention to the show in the show? Feels insulting they expect me to give a shit when no one else does. Oh, man. And then Langdon just asks Meade if she liked the apples plan that he came up with. So that's the big reveal of it was Langdon the whole time. He knew if he got a shipment of apples delivered, Venable would be like, we gotta kill everyone with body for apples.
We have to do... good for him. He knew she was fucking stupid enough to do bobbing for apples because she's such a goddamn theater kid. Like, good for him for, like, reading the room, honestly. That in and of itself is a better, more well-thought-out plan than Venable's plan, which is inside his plan. Like, his plan was literally, Venable's gonna be fucking stupid enough to try and kill everybody with these apples, isn't she? And he's right.
Yagami.
Yeah?
Like, hold on. I'm gonna make El Bob for apples, and then for kill everyone, and then for become Kira, and then, yeah, but she did it, and it worked. He did it, and it worked. So, I love this show.
Yeah.
So, Meade asks for clarification of, like, so why did you want everyone dead? Then he just mentions, didn't want to get my hands dirty, learned from my dad, which... Did he already do his nasty ritual? I can't remember.
Yes, he rolled around on the ground and called Satan daddy like 50 times. He's already done the writhing on the ground and being like, daddy, save me, help me.
Yeah. And then he does the whole, like, oh, the heart of darkness is actually in man. And everyone goes, great, man, thanks. You know, if you push people hard enough, they'll do evil acts. Like, oh, okay, great.
Meade
starts crying.
You don't say, says the survivors of nuclear war. Oh, okay. How about that?
Yeah, right? It feels like a little past the point at that point. Just like, yeah, I wanted to prove that the heart of darkness existed in man. It's like gesturing at the nuclear wasteland.
What do you mean, like this?
No, I mean they can be like a little mean. They can be mean. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean it like that. I meant like sometimes I might be like passive aggressive on Facebook. That's what I meant.
I was talking about the lady who betrayed her boyfriend and promised someone else a rim job. What the fuck are you talking about?
Nuclear war? What the fuck? That wasn't... What?
What the... I'm just a little nasty Loki. This is insane. Meade starts doing a little robo cry. And just is like, I don't understand. Why am I crying? I have feelings. I have memories. I don't understand. And then he goes, you're not just a machine. You are based on a woman who's very important to me from my life. So
allegedly, yeah, like nanny, mom, some form of caretaker, this, that, the other. So Mead is apparently a robot with the memories of Langdon's mom's past or something along those lines.
Langdon's mom worked for Mossad.
Oh shit, you're right. I didn't even realize. Fuck.
I forgot about that. Oh.
Cool mom, Langdon.
Oh shit.
God, this show is so weird.
Cool.
Because the options are that's true, or they implanted that specific memory into his, like, weird mom bot, which is also equally fucking insane.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're going to have your mom be normal, except we need to have her have, like, combat training. So we're going to put a weird arc where she's working for Israel in... Ohio?
Pennsylvania, which is even weirder.
Strange. So Langdon starts crying, which surely is legitimate and not an act. Who can say? Who cares? And they do a big hug.
I assume that one is supposed to be genuine because, like, he can't, like, trick a robot. He has no reason to, like, lie to a robot he programmed.
This is a pretty gullible robot, I gotta be honest.
I was gonna say, I don't know, I think this robot would believe a lot of shit. Yeah. I think I could trick this robot.
That's not the problem. I mean, you can obviously trick this robot. I'm saying, like, if he needed the robot to feel a certain way, he can just, like, change her programming. He doesn't need to lie to the robot.
What if he just likes lying?
That's true. He does seem to like to do it.
He loves lying. Yeah. He seems to just, like, really get a kick out of what he does.
He loves doing a bit. He is very Lestat / Loki in that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you thought that everyone dying was the worst twist of the episode, I've got bad news. You're about to learn a hard lesson about how bad this show can get. Because... the music kicks up, and it's Rolling Stones, and everyone's dead in the library, but we cut to outside where some folks in cloaks walk in, and you might say, oh, this is the collective doing their... No. The cloaked figures are revealed to be Madison, Cordelia, and Myrtle, the witches from Coven. That's right, baby. It's a fucking narrative show. I deeply, deeply wish it wasn't because, look, I already, when we had, what's her name, show up in hotel, Queenie.
Yeah.
I immediately had like a, oh no, don't do that. And then they just cheaply got rid of her and were like, the vampire has magic blood. But like that was bad, right? But this is like, that was clearly just like, oh, we need to have a witch and we thought we'd have it be like a fun little nod to the past or whatever. No. These motherfuckers are walking up in the center of the screen and they're the only person in camera. These are about to be main fucking characters and that is no good for me. I can't. I already got sick of those characters back in Coven. I don't need him again. I truly don't need him again.
They even brought a couple back to life, right? Because last we saw Myrtle, she was burned alive or whatever, you know? But now it's like, nope, she's
here.
They
fucking love burning Myrtle alive. They can't get enough of it.
No, Myrtle loves it because she got burnt once and then got brought back to life and she's like, you gotta do it again. You have to do it again.
Her last words were Balenciaga, for God's sake, which, like, didn't age well, but, you know.
Can you all call me good girl while you light the bonfire?
Yeah, I like it, actually. I like it when her and what's-his-name Gallant would have gotten along really well, I think. I think the two of them would have really, really been in sync with one another. That's the other thing is, like, I don't think that they either want you to be like, hey, wait a second, wasn't Myrtle Snow, isn't she dead? But, like, this is already, so many things have happened in the last 35 seconds of TV that, like, most people watching this, especially if you're not doing a fucking podcast about it and didn't just watch Coven, like, a few months ago, probably don't even remember that Myrtle Snow was dead. So, like, I can't even, like, imagine that people would be like, oh, and Myrtle's here? Like, we don't have time to be like, oh, and Myrtle's here and think about that at all because there's too much other stuff going on. There's too many other things to be like, well, that's a whole different can of worms that we have to deal with. Like, it essentially, it would have been like if it was like Madison, Cordelia, and the fucking, the dad from season one who jerks off and cries all walked up. It'd be like, hey, wait a second.
That would be awesome. That would be so cool.
Hey, wait a second.
Would he still be jerking off in this? Does he, like, have a window he brings with him to look out his backyard?
No, but he would be crying. He would still be crying. That's true.
Yeah. That dude loves crying, for sure.
Not jerking off yet, but only because he's in polite company. It's like played as like it's done at like an angled shot and like it's so clearly supposed to be like a cool reveal. But even when this happened, and again, at the time I was like watching this stuff, Coven was for all intents and purposes my quote unquote favorite season, and that's like not a high bar to clear.
But agreed, for what it's worth. Like, it clearly was doing a thing, and for the opening half, at the very least, it was pretty enjoyable. It was fun fucking TV.
I think if we, on the podcast, I said, too, it's like, it's not bad. It's not scary. It's, like, possibly the best, like, criticism you give of it. Like, it's interesting. The characters are interesting. But it's just, like, it's better drama than horror. And then it, you know, kind of goes downhill for different reasons. But then, like, this is still, like, I don't care enough about it to want to see more of it, and this is where it's like, hey, Secret Coven sequel, what do you know? And it's like,
yeah, I think that the thing about Coven, like, I think that they did, I'm not going to say well, but they did better than that they've done in other seasons, is the thing about Coven is it gave a lot more plausible deniability for, like, the universe having a lot of supernatural elements to it. So when something was, like, a little unbelievable, it's like, well, everybody's doing fucking magic. So, like,
I think
it's fine. That's fine that like, happened because everybody does magic in this universe.
Some of the things I think it got bad to was, like, death meant nothing in Coven.
Yeah.
You know, because you could just bring people back. You know?
Damn, Slowbeef, that's crazy. Death meant nothing in Coven. I sure hope that isn't a reoccurring theme in other seasons.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Me neither.
So, the other thing you might be wondering, too, is, hey, wait a minute, in case you're, you know, just listening and not watching along. First of all, God bless. Thank you for being here. Second of all, wait, aren't both of those characters played by Sarah Paulson? Don't they just both look like Sarah Paulson? Don't they just kind of, aren't they just the same lady? And I would say,
good. It's so good they killed Venable 5 seconds ago because this would have been the most obvious. Out of all the times there's been two Sarah Paulsons in one season, this is the most, like, Luigi that it's ever been. Ever. Like, Cordelia and Venable are the most Luigi that any of her characters have ever been in any of the American Horror Story, like, seasons. So having both of them on screen at the same time would have been like, well, okay. One of them's just purple and one of them is green.
And for me personally, the whole having actors play, like, recurring characters across seasons, I think it works pretty well when they're fully separate from one another. And I think it could be better if it was done more regularly. If this was something that, like, happened so much that there was just, like, an understanding of, like, oh, yeah, if a character shows up and they have a different haircut, that's just a new person. But they do it so rarely. And it's always Sarah Paulson. It's always fucking Sarah Paulson. And this one is, like, it took me a second. I was like, oh, did the Venable leave and come back in? What the, what? No. And it's even worse because after the witches show up, they go, we need to go retrieve our sisters. And they pull out the bodies of Mallory, Dinah, and Coco, which... I assumed they just meant, women and not, like, witches at this point because, God, don't let Coco be a witch. God, that'd be the most annoying shit in the universe, but...
But, me.
And but, you know, so it's like...
Yeah. Because they would have brought back Venable too, right? And they...
Exactly. Like, that's the whole thing. Is like, why wouldn't they bring back Venable in that case? And the answer is because it's played by the same fucking lady.
Right.
That's really it.
Right.
And she cannot do a Freaky Friday. She just simply cannot handle being Michael B. Jordan in Sinners. She cannot act with herself on the screen, I guess. That's just not in Sarah Paulson's acting repertoire.
And here's the other thing, though. She didn't have to, right? The only reason to do that is to try to mask the reveal that it's a Coven sequel, but nobody was clocking that anyway. You know what I mean? Like, if you have Venable played by another actress, even if you don't feel like the other actress is as good as Sarah Paulson, you're only with her for 3 episodes, tops, you know? You've got your popular TV show, you've got the other characters, like, just let another actress do it, and then Sarah Paulson can be Cordelia again, and ipso facto, you're done. But, like, for whatever reason, it's like, nah, let's just have her be both characters.
You know what's also extremely cool about it being Mallory, Dinah, and Coco is that the very first scene of this season is us being introduced to both Coco and Mallory. So we've gotten, like, I'm doing the jerk off motion with my hand, a little bit of time to learn about those characters. Dinah's had maybe 8 seconds of screen time by herself, and the rest of it has been her standing in the background, not talking to anybody. So, like, we literally don't know jack or shit about Dinah, nor do we care.
I'm so much more interested in Nasty Oprah. I'm so much more interested in Nasty Oprah than Coco. Coco is the most boring fucking character in the universe. Mallory is nothing. Give me Nasty Oprah. I'm so fat. That would be such a better idea. That'd be so much more fascinating to explore. What if Oprah was a horrible human being behind closed doors? Like, that's something, right? That's anything? But no, we got to have Coco being shitty, you know, all the time. That was it.
I think the thing that's like, I mean, it's weird too, because not that I was a big Emily fan at all, but like, I feel like even bringing her back too, and just without Tim this time, and you know what I mean? As
oh god,
like,
I
maybe,
wish.
Maybe, it could be a little interesting, right? But like, not
and it would kind of like...
Because then she would have a grudge moving forward. Like, she would have something that she could, like, have as a big character moment to reference, something like that.
I feel
but,
like
no, she just stays dead.
Right.
Which, honestly, feels kind of rude of the witches. It feels kind of shitty for them to just be like, oh, this random teen, fuck her.
Yeah, all the other greys, all the other women who are greys here, fuck them. I'm not going to obviously spoil it. Like, I know why they're not doing that, but from a narrative perspective, it's like, oh, well, why them? Like, not in an exciting way, like, ooh, well, why them? It's like, oh, well, great.
Yeah, it's either these are all witches or Cordelia's fucking awful. And you know they're not going to try and set up Cordelia to be fucking awful. So the only conclusion you can draw is like, oh, these three are like magic or MacGuffins or like witches or something. Yeah, that's the only reason it makes sense.
Yeah, the other thing is, like, we get, like, a little teaser. The thing is, like, I don't know why they did the Mallory, like, reveal at the beginning of this. We're like, oh, by the way, Mallory has magic. Like, oh, okay, kind of weird that the day she remembers that or, like, accesses her powers is also the day everyone fucking dies and the witches show up. Like, wow, convenient that the day that Sheila's, like, sleeper cell awakened was the day she also was sleeper cell awakened. That's crazy. It's also, like, I don't know, like, even though, because again, I'm not going to spoil it, but I will say, like, their personalities that we've seen will not be their personalities moving forward. Just disregard everything you know about the show up until this point.
I love when people Gundam wing the characters where they're off screen for 30 seconds and when they come back they're an entirely different character inhabiting the same corpse.
Yeah,
that's
it's
cool.
Literally
I'm
that.
Excited
when
for
I
that.
Say I mean, like, we're just starting a new season, we're now just starting a new season. Like, all three of the episodes up until now have just been nothing for no one, basically. And now we have a new season. We have Coven 2. And now we have new characters. But, like, if that's the case, which it is, because I know, because I've seen it, maybe Evie could have been funny and cool, you know? Evie is, like, a sick old witch. Probably could have kicked ass. Like, a weird little Liza Minnelli lady who's, like, really eccentric and kind of airheaded being a witch. Sounds kind of delightful if she's not an asshole. But no, we get Mallory, Dinah, and Coco, which is, like, yeah, okay. You just picked Mallory because we didn't have Billy Lord for Coven. She wasn't in the cast yet, and she would have been perfect because that's why they made her Winter, is because she plays a little nasty goth really well. and she would have obviously been perfect in Coven, but we didn't have her on the team yet. So you just want to now retroactively add her to Coven? Like, I get it. But like, Coco, like, come on.
The weird thing is, like, they had an okay premise with the whole apocalypse thing, right? Like, this didn't need to be both a show about, like, the horror of the end of the world and all that stuff, and also about the witches. Like, you know what I mean? Like, why don't you just do that in two separate seasons? Especially because you're clearly out of ideas, because you have a season two from now called Double Feature, which is, like, two seasons in one, like, as in literally.
Yeah, they really gave up with Double Feature. With Double Feature, they're like, yeah, we really did just write two seasons, and we'll just make it that in one season. We're just giving up on this whole cramming two ideas together and making it one, like, weird amalgam. We're going to genuinely just give you four episodes of two different seasons. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Also, like, that's the thing, is like, at the same time I'm like, well, now it's even more frustrating that like the buildup to this was like kind of lackluster, because like they didn't really build a universe in which I was invested in these characters surviving the apocalypse. It's just a matter of like, oh, clearly this is one of those situations where like probably everyone ends up dead. Just not like this. I didn't think like this. I figured at the end of the season everybody would be dead because everyone sucks. Well,
It's also the fact that the witches just got here, like, feels like there's no jeopardy for them, even with the apocalypse. You know what I mean? Like, you know, there's no, like, okay, well, we had to wear radiation suits. We had to use a special witch tunnel power we can only use once. Just like, yeah, we're here. So it just makes it feel like, okay, well, then they have no problem with nuclear war or anything. So this is, I guess, not really going to be in a season about that anymore.
They played, like, the first, like, I don't know, hour of Fallout, and they were like, oh, I thought I liked this, but I actually am not fucking with it. I'm going to go back to playing The Witcher, actually. And they just completely decided to take it in a different scenario. And a good parting note, which is the final scene of this season, which just as of recording this, between our last our last episode and now, has become even more poignant than ever, is... they have Madison, which I know a lot of you probably don't even fucking remember this because it was in Coven and like it wasn't important unless you watched the show or cared. Remember when Madison dies in Coven and then she gets brought back, and when she comes back, she does when the reveal is revealed that she's back from the dead, she does a little twirl and looks at the camera and says, "Surprise, bitch, I bet you thought you'd seen the last of me." That everybody gleaned onto that and was like made that like their Tumblr catchphrase, and it was like everybody who liked American Horror Story, that was like the thing that everybody like clung to as a catchphrase. It was like the only meaningful line.
It's a rough delivery. It really doesn't sell it for me. It comes off pretty flat. Yeah. Of just like, it really does feel like they're saying it not to any character in the scene, but to the cameras recording them, which I think sucks ass.
She's saying it because, like, where I was going with that is that she said, Madison then says it to one of the dead that are now alive witches, which, like, why would Madison say that to one of the witches that they just brought back? Why would she say that? But like I said, it's even more relevant because, drumroll please, they just announced season 13 of American Horror Story, which is going to be, wait for it, everybody, another fucking Coven season. Let's go. And in that announcement that they did, they put the title card, "Surprise, bitch, I bet you thought you'd seen the last of me," which at this point, fucking let it go, Ryan Murphy. You have to let it go. It wasn't that cool. I know it was like the one pop culture reference that kind of took off and like became a meme on all the social media platforms. And like most people, even if they haven't watched American Horror Story, have at least seen the GIF of Emma Roberts twirling around and saying, "Surprise, bitch, I bet you thought you'd seen the last of me." I know it's like your one shred of cultural relevance, but you can't keep doing this. You have to let it go. The accident was 15 years ago. You have to forgive yourself. You have to let it go. You have to stop using this. Yeah. you have to let this phrase go. Please. As someone who liked Coven, please let it go. Please just take your one of your few W's and let it go. Please. I'm begging you.
And I'll also add, as somebody who was, you know, pretty far outside that sphere, watching it, I legitimately was just like so confused by this. I had to think, wait, was Mallory's actress in Coven? I don't think she was in Coven, was she? And I had to like go back and look and be like, would they know each other? Is something? And then it's like, oh no, they're just saying it to the fucking camera. Like, they're just saying it to the fucking camera. It has no relevance to any of the characters in the scene. And
they don't know why they're there, right? You know what I mean? Like Cordelia's like, let's go, like, now let's save our sisters. Like, oh, that's why we're here. Yeah, you're right. Thank you for the reminder, Cordelia. You know, because you're, yeah, it is absolutely just for, like, ready audience, wink. But.
Yay. Well, I would like one of you to read.
Cutting the scene of Venable getting shot in the head with like grunt birthday party. Just, yay!
Yeah.
That's basically what they do.
I would love if one of you could read the title for the next episode. Because I didn't write it funny. That's how it's written in the TV.
Oh, God. I know what this is.
Could it be Satan?
No.
No, and it's audience, that's not Ty saying like, oh, could the title just be Satan? No, the title of the episode is, could it be ... Satan?
Do you get that reference, by the way? Am I too old here, or is this...
Oh, no.
No?
I don't.
Okay. No, I don't get it. Sorry.
Dana Carvey had a Saturday Night Live character called the Church Lady, who was really popular, and she would say, oh, what made you dress like that? Could it be Satan? And it became a Saturday Night Live catchphrase, and they would, like, echo the word Satan in later episodes of it. It was one of those things that, like, one of those bits they just couldn't let go.
That kicks so much ass.
Referencing...
Holy shit.
Dana Carvey?
That kicks so much ass.
Is one of the later episodes going to be titled Not Turtly Enough for the Turtle Club? What the fuck are
God,
we doing
I hope
here?
So. I'm not...
By the way, I am 100% right on that. That was like a big thing in like the 80s, like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, oh, just a coincidence or whatever. That is 1,000,000% what they're referencing.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, I went through a phase of watching all of SNL,
oh, okay,
for sure.
Good.
And yeah, that absolutely a character. Just like not something that was, you know, I wasn't there for the cultural moment of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I remember that character. Yeah,
I wasn't sure about
dating
myself.
There's no universe I would connect those. Yeah.
I know, but like, it's just, because. I hate this so much anyway.
Yippee!
So yeah, look forward to next time where you can find out if it is Satan or not. I'm going to bet it is. I'm going to bet it probably is, given to everything leading up to this.
Daddy Satan, thank you, Langdon. Langdon's dad's going to get involved.
God. Till next time, before I have to hear another one of my co-commentators say daddy in a way that makes my skin crawl, I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Have a great night.